everybody. Welcome back to the NG podcast. It's been a while. Actually, I'd have to look. I don't even know like when we did our last episode. Well, actually, that's a loaded question because the last time you and I did an episode, by the way, Manny's on the Manny cam. Can they see you?
Oh, yeah. Right there? They can see me.
This is Manny. He's on the Manny cam. And then we took a break from this format, and then I started doing the deep dive podcast, and then we kind of took a break from that over the summer, and we're coming back into it with our new approach, which is the Munchables podcast. Well, it's still the NG podcast where we talk to the next generation about being the next generation, but it's Munchables. That's inspired by Lunchables. If you see the little logo, I kind of ripped the Lunchables logo and made it Munchables for us. The whole concept behind this is to give you shorter episodes, bite-sized information, like a Lunchable, you know? They're like all like bite-sized things, you know? And then we'll even throw in some sweet treats in there because we all know that really the best part of any Lunchable is the treat that's in there. At least I feel like that needs to weigh heavily into your choice of Lunchable.
You know? Like the one with the chicken nuggets. It's got a little brownie ketchup.
I need to hold on. I'm gonna use my technology here. Let's see what kind. Because I mean, when I was growing up, let's see Lunchables. I'm gonna see what Lunchables are out there. Because I mean, when I was growing up, pretty much it was like the crackers, cheese, and meat. Like that was the Lunchable, yeah. And then they like I think like the pizza one came out when I was a kid. Wow, this is advertising. Wow, okay, the Lunchables website is pretty intense. I don't know why I just clicked on kids. I'm gonna go back home. Hold on, you should check out the Lunchables website. They have
like some interesting stuff.
Yeah, well, okay. Oh my gosh, there's a lot of them. What's new? They have, okay, that's not new. It's called a cracker stacker. So yeah, those were the ones that I remember. You know, the crackers, cheese, and meat, and that was it. Yeah. Maybe you got an Oreo in there. But oh my gosh, they have spicy nacho. They have a PB&J Lunchable. Okay, wait a minute. Awesome. Hold on. Okay, they've got PB&J grape and PB&J strawberry. No thaw. I don't know how I feel about that. Extra cheesy pizza. They have Dunkables.
Dunkables.
It's like an even smaller Lunchable. It's a Lunchable. They have nachos with cheese dip and salsa. Hang on, I want to shop all. I'm gonna shop all. Wait, what? They have a grilled cheese Lunchable. This is not okay. Hold on a minute. Grilled cheese. There's your chicken nuggets that you were talking about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Chicken nuggets. Load more. There's more. Pizza. Extra cheesy pizza. Mm. That's gotta be my favorite one. Ham and American cracker stacker, turkey cracker stacker. Like that's it. Okay. Spicy nachos. Yep. Those look like they'd give you some heartburn. Looking at them, they have Reese's. They comes with Reese's now. Taco Bell, you have deep dish pizza. What? Deep dish pizza. There's the ham, the sub sandwich Lunchable. Not even Cracker Stacker anymore. Oh. So they have sub sandwich, loaded nachos. Okay. Hmm. Wow. They've Lunchables. Okay, Lunchables. You really stepped up your game.
Their game.
They're getting intense. So, yeah, okay. Here's our first. We're going to open this up. What is the best Lunchable?
I think I would just have to go with the one that I like.
Yeah, well, obviously.
I think that's the most common one that I've seen, though, is what? Like the... The chicken nugget one.
Chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen that. You don't have to heat them up?
No. Actually, I think you're just supposed to eat them cold like that.
Well, oh, there you go. Chicken dunks.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it comes with Nerds.
Mm-hmm.
Nerds candy or Oreos or whatever the heck that is. Okay. They have categories. Oh, my gosh. You need... Okay. Hey, if you're listening to this podcast, spend some time... go to the Lunchables website, click on parents. I don't know why you have, I don't know. But yeah, and then just enjoy how many different Lunchables. I feel like I need to like stock up, man. Yeah. There's, okay. And these dunkables, like this is a lunchable. That's like how I would describe a dunkable. I gotta go with the pizza, man.
Yeah, the pizza one's a good one too.
Yeah, the pizza one is the best, for sure. Yeah.
Pizza.
However, I will ask you this: have you ever heated up the little pizza? Like, if you're at home and you're feeling like fancy, you like take your little pizza and like put it in the toaster oven.
Yeah, actually, I have tossed it in the toaster. I usually do that with like Lunchables, like the Uncrustables
Okay,
in the
I can't
toaster.
believe they have a PB&J and a grilled cheese Lunchable. When did this happen? They've like expanded, which I guess
They
they
got
have to.
nachos. They got.
Okay. Well, that's good. Hey, just like Lunchables, we're gonna have a lot of great stuff for you too. Different versions of things. So again, this is supposed to be munchable content, bite-sized stuff. We're gonna look at like questions and try and keep it under 30 minutes. And so that way, again, it's munchable. Like a little Lunchable, you just kind of grab it. Quick information for you. Quick spiritual meal, so to speak. We are the Lunchable spiritual meal. We are not the Thanksgiving dinner. That's what we used to be. But now we are the Lunchables.
The Lunchables.
The Munchables with the Manny Cam. And then we'll have new segments popping up every now and then, and we'll try and get guests on here and everything. But today, my friends, we are gonna talk about Advent. So it's Christmas. It's been Christmas at my house since November 1st. I'm not kidding. I had the house lights up on November 1st, and then my wife spent hours decorating the entire house. We love Christmas. I don't think that you have to wait until Thanksgiving. That's a hot take, but I don't think you have to wait until after Thanksgiving, because Christmas is a season, Thanksgiving is a day, you know? And people all the time, when you get to Christmas, you'll hear this commonly at church, where they say, "We shouldn't celebrate Jesus is coming once a year. We should celebrate it all year."
All year.
And then what happens when you decorate early? People get all upset. It's like the pineapple on pizza of holidays. Like, I don't know where you're at with that, but we're gonna try and keep this relevant to whatever season of life we're in, whatever's happening in the world. And again, I didn't know what this was. So when I was growing up in church, I knew of it. I had heard the word Advent. In fact, last night at youth, I actually asked how many of you even have heard of Advent, and I think only like five hands shot up. And so I think it's valuable. And so that's what we're going to talk about. What is Advent? We're in an Advent series as a church. It's called Divine Arrival. That's our Christmas series on Sunday mornings. Maybe you look at the front of the church and you see those candles on a inside of a wreath at a table, and you're like, "That's weird. That's a weird spot to put a decoration. It's a very massive centerpiece on that very tiny table. Why are they doing that?" There's a reason.
There is a reason.
Yeah, it's Advent. So, just like real talk, Manny, how savvy are you on what Advent is? Like, did you grow up knowing what Advent is, or were you like me in ignorant bliss?
We definitely always knew like what it was. I don't think I knew there was a word for it, but obviously growing up in a Christian household, we always knew that it was remembering Christ coming in a manger, and like all of that entail. And also, like, my mom also emphasized it, but like his return again when he comes back. So it was always remembrance of him as a baby, and then also like what he did for us and like when he's gonna come back.
Dang.
So we always had an idea.
You knew more than I did. I feel like I'm not even a Christian. I didn't. Obviously I know that like Christmas is about Jesus, but I didn't realize that there's a whole month long thing. That's Advent. And again, Christmas is a season. If you're wondering what like the 12 days of Christmas are, that's actually like tied to this, and it like leads to the Epiphany and all this kind of crazy stuff. We're not going to get hung up on all of that, but we're going to talk about what Advent is. And so you kind of brought it up a little bit there, Manny, over there on the Manny Cam. But what is Advent? So the word Advent itself, it actually means arrival. So our series called Divine Arrival, you can actually say it's called Divine Advent. That's an advent is an arrival of something, right? So the first advent of Jesus was Christmas. If you look at John 1:14, it's what we call the incarnation of Christ, right? Where John 1:14 says the word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? So that's the first advent, okay? The first arrival of Jesus. And so at Advent, we spend time reflecting on the first advent. And just like Manny said, we also look with hope and excitement for his second advent, which is talked about in Revelation. So if you sing Revelation song or Get Ready or Joy to the World, which by the way is not Joy to the World is about the second coming. I don't know if you know that. There's your little Christmas song trivia. Joy to the World, the Lord has come, let earth receive her King. That's actually a second advent song, but all tied to the same thing. So if you're wondering, like, what is this Advent season? It's 4 Sundays, okay? And it ends on Christmas Eve, okay? So it normally starts as close to November 30th, and it lasts all the way until Christmas Eve. And then that starts like the 12 days that lead toward the Epiphany. So there's actually a post-Christmas celebration, all right? And there's a lot of ties. I was just talking to Pastor Rich about this. There's a lot of ties to Catholicism, which is actually why, by the way, a lot of Hispanic families don't really do Advent. He was talking to Pastor Carlos about this, because if you have moved from Catholicism to Protestantism, a lot of them don't do Advent anymore because of the ties to the Catholic Church, right? But we still do it here, not in the same way as the Catholic Church, but we still do it because, again, it is a way of reflecting. And so, again, 4 Sundays, and you'll see those candles. And the idea is that each Sunday of Advent, you light one of the candles. Some churches do 5 candles. There's a white candle, that's the Christ candle. And the candles represent a theme that you're really reflecting on for that week. So if you follow our church on social media, we actually have a daily Advent focus that's going out just with quick questions of reflection. But those candles are hope, peace, joy, love, and then again, some do that final candle, which is the Christ candle, and that's the one that's lit on Christmas Eve, right? You light that candle because, hey, it's a candlelight service. Whoa! Yep. So that's why we light the candles and we sing O Holy Night and all the things. My favorite service of the whole year. It's the best. So we're gonna break down those candles, right? So again, why do we do this? Like, what's the whole point of Advent? Okay. It's not some weird ritual. It's a tradition that invites us to deeply reflect and commemorate Jesus's birth and anticipate his second coming. So in reality, why do we do Advent for a whole month? It brings our focus back on what really matters. Okay, so let's break it down, if you don't mind, Manny, real quickly here. The first candle of Advent, which we just lit this past Sunday, okay, is hope. Okay, so I'm just going to read this blurb and the scripture connection, and then we'll kind of talk about it. So our Savior's birth delivered hope into the world, right? Hope has a name, Jesus. If you guys know that song, you're welcome. And no matter the hardship we face, God's hope-filled arrival means we can have hope right here, right now. The gift of hope was not just for the past, it's for our present and our future too. We can hold a hopeful expectation for the dreams in our hearts and deep prayers and the desires we hold dear. And this is Micah 7:7. It's a great verse. If you've never read these minor prophets, I encourage you to do so. But Micah 7:7 says, "As for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me." Now, here's the thing. Why is this an important point of reflection for us, right? Why is hope an important point of reflection for us? Because, Manny, what is our hope, like, as a Christian? What's our ultimate hope? Like, what gives us ultimate hope?
Well, Christ's return, and
Yeah. Why?
because we get to go back with him to heaven afterwards.
Exactly. Now, here's the problem. Advent's been happening for centuries, right? And yet it's still important for us to focus on this because so much in life, we put our hope in things other than the Savior. And so what happens is then when we do this Advent study, it's a way of us, again, realigning ourselves with what truly matters. That's the point of Advent and where our hope is found. So I know for me, and Manny, I'll let you kind of chew on this a little bit. This has two things. Number one, we need to reflect and ask ourselves what we put our hope in, what circumstances around us do we put our hope in instead of Jesus, so that way we can make sure we fix that, right? But then the other question that we really look at is who needs the hope that I have? Because Peter talks about how we should be ready to offer a defense for the hope that we have, right? Mm-hmm. So if there's people that don't have the hope of a future in heaven with God, well, then we in the Christmas season, we want to be aware of those people so we can bring that hope to them, right? So maybe real quick, like where do people typically put their hope instead of in Christ?
They put it everywhere else where they get their happiness. So usually like their job, you know, whatever brings them a paycheck, or whatever other avenue of life you're going through that's kind of gives you energy to keep going, which is usually money.
Yeah.
And that's all they have to look forward to.
Money, success, likes, follows, subscribes, mm-hmm. friends, yeah. whatever.
Exactly. Social media, yeah.
Yeah, and or like our athletic ability or our bodies mm-hmm. or whatever, all these things that are going to fade and go away. And so this season, you remind yourself of where your hope actually lies, right? Mm-hmm. And it should be to the point where people see something different in you, and then you're able to offer that same hope in the gospel to other people. So that's hope, okay? Mm-hmm. The second candle is joy. We all know what happiness feels like. Smile, a rush of warm fuzziness, the feeling you get after opening a gift. Jesus delights in the moments of happiness in our lives, but he also offers us something that goes beyond momentary happiness. He offers lasting joy, okay? Mm-hmm. Luke 2, 10 through 11. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, Christ the Lord." And so again, joy is not based on circumstances. Joy is a choice, right? Mm. That we choose. Rejoicing, joy is one of the main concepts that you actually see throughout all of Scripture, is having joy, because joy comes in the morning. And again, mm-hmm. it's not based on your circumstances. That's what happiness is, right? Yeah. I feel happy today. I feel sad today. But joy is something that perseveres, right? And so what does choosing joy look like at Christmas? You know, I think, again, if we're going to choose joy, what happens is you look at your circumstances, you look at the maybe even the bad stuff in our world, and instead you choose to have an inner joy, an inner happiness that I want you to think of like a campfire with like some burning coals, right? Mm-hmm. That are really, really hot. It doesn't matter how bad the storm is, those coals are still going to get hot. And actually the oxygen from that storm makes them hotter, right? It like feeds that heat. The flames are gone, right? But the flames that come up and go down, that's happiness, right? They come and go. Mm-hmm. Joy is that core heat that's not going to go away in the midst of the storm, right? And so for us, it's a choice at Christmas that this, yes, we can choose a lot of things that are going to steal our joy, whether it's stuff that's happening in the world or in your life. But instead, our joy is in the fact that, man, we are looking forward to a future with Jesus, and that nothing can take that away. That's the burning coals, right? And so this is a reality check of like, hey, what am I putting my, like, what gives me joy? And why is that a bad thing? Because it's going to come and go, right? Mm-hmm. And instead, how can I make sure that I'm choosing joy? Like, what is feeding my joy? And it should be your future with Jesus forever, right? Mm-hmm. And then we got the third candle. I know I'm flying through these, but third candle is peace, okay? When you consider the hustle and bustle of Christmas, peace may not be the first thing that comes to mind. And Manny, we were talking about this. I think most people at Christmas do not feel peace. What steals people's peace at Christmas?
Dude, you have people rushing to get to places, to family members' houses. They're trying to, like you guys, get up decorations early. There's no rest. People are going on flights to go see family. So there's always just, like, this stress going on, especially, like, around the holiday season.
Oh yeah, I mean, even as a parent, man, it just stresses you out, and it shouldn't. It should give you peace. I actually told Caitlin, we were talking about this, I think last night, but I think when I think of heaven, what gives me the most excitement, like what I look forward to, is just that ultimate peace. That I just want to like sit in the silence, and like that's what I think of when I think of heaven. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of
Peace.
Peace." And man, there's so many things that are going to steal your peace over the holiday. But instead, how can we slow down and delight in God's peace? Right? Because again, nothing can steal your eternity with him if you're a Christian. And if his first coming happen, we can have confidence that his second coming, he makes good on his promises, and that should give us peace. So how do we do that, Manny? Like, how do we, what is maybe even something that you do to really like make sure that you slow down to delight in God's peace at Christmas?
I think one thing that I've done is like always try and value like family time. And that's usually like what happens around Christmas and Thanksgiving and stuff. You see a lot of your family, and that's always just like a reminder to like slow down, like, hey, this is what I have, this is what I'm thankful for. And like, where did it all come from? And it's like, God is the one that has blessed me with this family. And so it kind of always just brings you back around to like who started it all, who created it all. And it's, I think it starts with little things like that, like remembering what you have, like what you're blessed with. Every morning when you wake up, it's going to point you back to God and bring you that peace. Because then you're like, hey, you know, this also happened, you know, the birth of our Savior. And it's kind of like this loop. I
Yeah.
think once you get to like those little things, then everything else will kind of be like coming back to you, and you'll get put in that mindset of peace and not stressed about what's going to happen next or.
Well, I think a lot of the holidays, like you mentioned, are shoot from the hip. It's reactive. Like, oh, I got to get this, I got to get whatever. And so I think the more intentional you are with your time, like actually scheduling time. I think, you know, we've gone through experiencing God, and it talks about this, like really scheduling moments of peace, right? Because you know it's going to be a busy season. Some of it you can control, some of it you can't. Some people get really nervous being around their families and stuff. I get it. But get really good at, we got to get better at scheduling moments of stillness with God, right? And not like 5 minutes. Maybe that's all you grab is 5 minutes. That's fine. But like put your phone away. Don't worry about other stuff. Like literally plan times to just refocus and invest in that piece. And maybe it's fasting from something for a while. It's kind of bring that focus. But yeah, good word. The last one is love. God's unending love and limitless love is a gift that holds the power to transform our hearts and lives. 1 John 4:9, God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only son into the world so that we might live through him. This is where we reflect on how deeply God loves us, because that allows us to freely love others, walk with confidence, and face the unknown. And so, in this season, you got to ask that question of like, how can I reflect God's love? How can I first off reflect on God's love for me, right? To really think about how unqualified I am for God's love, and then just realize how deeply God still loves you, even in the midst of us not really deserving it, right? And then secondly, how do you reflect that? And I love this idea of when we think about God's love, it's not just something that we take and like just hoard for ourselves, but it's also something that we can reflect to others. That when we look at how much God loves us, it gives us a model of how much we are to love other people. And the Bible even says, even your enemies, those that persecute you, that we're supposed to have that deep reflection. I mean, look at Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them. Like the ones that were killing him, he still deeply loved. And so, again, like that's hard at the Christmas season, because again, it's easy. I think at Christmas we focus on the people that are easy to love. Those are the ones we get gifts for. But like, oh, okay. Nerd moment here. I know we've only got a couple minutes, but When I read the book, and yes, The Grinch is based off of Dr. Seuss' book. It was not originally a movie. When I read the book, it still chokes me up, man. Like the Grinch book still chokes me up because, again, like he was completely undeserving of love, right? At Christmas, he tried to steal Christmas, and he was just a humbug, whatever. I mean, even The Christmas Carol, another one of my favorite Christmas stories, and yet people still chose love for those people, right? They chose to love the Grinch, and that's actually what turned him around. So again, like, who are those people that you have a hard time loving, and how can you reflect God's love? And again, a lot of this Advent thing is changing your perspective. I think Christmas can easily become about you. It can easily become about us. And in reality, number one, it's a reminder. We take an entire month to remind ourselves of where our hope, love, peace, and joy truly is built on. So that way we can make it better in our lives. But then at the same time, how do I then reflect that to other people? Like, who am I sharing this hope with? Can people see my inner joy that's not changed by my circumstances? Do I feel at peace, not on my circumstance, not because of my circumstances, but because I know that I have a future in heaven and Jesus really is coming back? And again, like, do you actually, I think, believe that God loves you that deeply? And if so, first off, you got to accept it. You got to accept that God truly loves you, even though we don't deserve it. And then at the same time, then how do you go do that for the people that you feel like don't deserve it? How are you going to show love to all people? You are either loving or you are not. You can't be like, sometimes we categorize who gets our love. It's just like goodness. You are either good or you're not good. This is like a blanket standard. So that means you're either loving or you're not loving. You can't just be like, well, I'm loving these people, but not over here. That's not what God does. If God is love, then that means we are to be love. And that means we are loving to everybody. So that's Advent, okay? That's where the whole Advent season comes from. It's again focusing, reflecting on Jesus' first coming and giving us hope for his second coming, but then it also reorients our focus at a holiday season that can quickly become the opposite of these, that it can steal our joy, that it can make us selfish, that it can steal our peace. And then we'll put our hope in the wrong things. Like, so much of the Christmas season, especially here in the United States, can flip this on its head. And so we take the entire month to really make sure we have the right perspective at Christmas. So there you go. There's your Munchables Advent. And I hope that's helpful for you. Last thing we're going to close with, and comment with your answers to these questions. You know, what gives you hope and peace in the holiday season? But we also want you to comment this question. I'm going to get yours, and then I'm going to get mine, and then we'll wrap it up. Manny, I was upset. Last night we did trivia. We did Christmas movie trivia, and I quickly found out how little these students know about Christmas movie. It like hurt my heart. I put a Charlie Brown Christmas was one of the pictures, and it said, "What Christmas movie is this?" Half of them didn't know, and I was some of them guessed Frosty the Snowman, and I'm like, "Come on!" So, Manny, what is the best Christmas movie? Like, at Christmas time, you gotta watch it. Is there any?
Let's see. I don't know. There's a lot of good ones. I used to like the Polar Express.
Okay.
I feel like that one was like a cute one that we used to watch a lot.
The animation kind of freaks me out, but
Oh, no, yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
you
But
gotta
I
redo that
think
one.
one of my favorite ones is the Santa Claus with the
The first one, yeah,
All the other ones are,
they're good, but not
yeah,
you
it's not the
can't be
same.
as good as the original one. I feel you. There's so many. Yeah, you're right. There's so many. I have to watch The Grinch. Like, sure, the original animated one, but the one with Jim Carrey.
Jim
Oh
Carrey,
my gosh, there's so many one-liners in that movie. It's so great. I've got to watch Elf. I have to. Like, that's just another Christmas classic. I hate how old that movie is, though. That hurts my heart when I see how old it is
man.
now. And then Charlie Brown Christmas. I'm a big Charlie Brown fan. That should have been my first answer. I'm a humongous Charlie Brown fan, so I've got to watch Charlie Brown Christmas. And the gospel is straight up presented in that movie too, which is great. Linus steps up, who's my favorite character.
Oh,
We share a
Linus.
birthday, by the way. Linus first appeared
Oh yeah,
September 19th,
September.
1952. We share a birthday,
Wow.
but he steps up and just straight up delivers the gospel, the real meaning of Christmas. So good stuff. Well, Manny,
Oh man.
thanks for bringing back the podcast with me. We did it. We got the Munchables. Comment with your favorite Lunchable. Comment with what gives you hope, joy, peace, and love at this Christmas season. And definitely comment with what your favorite Christmas movie is. And
Oh
we'll see you
yeah.
next time. So again, every week we're going to be doing these little Munchables. So hopefully
Bite
this gives you
size.
better perspective at Christmas. Manny, thank you.
Thank you, Timmy.
And we will see you guys next time. Peace out.
Peace out.